Let me show you what happened to, because you know some Christians, you know some born again people. That's why we're here. How they get off, and I'm going to show you how to correct some stuff. Okay. All right. All right. Give me. I'm going to show you why you can't, why your spirit won't sin. Okay. Give me 1 Peter 1:23. Give me that in the King James. You know, it's good to find out which we're talking about being filled with the fullness of God. Then you can see why stuff come at you, and you, if you don't have any word in you, and you haven't spent any time, and that's why you get into stuff, and you find yourself bound up in some thing, you say, oh my God, how did I get here? Watch what happened. Being born again, not off of what? What is a corruptible seed? We might well just find out. What is a corruptible seed? Anybody know? It's one that can be destroyed. It's not sound. It won't stand the test of time and pressure of life. It's corrupt. It will destroy. It's not a good seed. It won't produce the things of God. Can you understand that? Corruptible seed. But a what? Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of what kind of seed? What is an incorruptible? You can't destroy it. You can't destroy it. You cannot make it become foul. You can't find any flaw in it. It's incorruptible, indestructible. I don't care what you put on it. I don't care what you throw at it. When you throw it at it, that stuff you throw at it, it just vanishes. Because that seed is of God. And you can't destroy God. Now watch what he said, so you can see it. But an incorruptible seed, by what? The word of God, who liveth and abideth 10 days through. Thank y'all for helping me out there. Who liveth and abideth how long? Forever. Now watch this. See, when you're born again, that's what you want to do. This is what you want to do, is feel, get in the word. The mistake happens to most believers while they're in trouble, while they backslide, while they don't become a mature Christian, a committed believer. They start feeding their spirit Blue John. Somebody said, what is Blue John? I'm glad you asked. Milk with all the substance drawn out of it. It's white, but it ain't nothing in it. Hallelujah. So like that, what they call that milk in the store, 2%? What is it? Skim milk. It doesn't have any substance in it. It take all the strength out of it that would give your body what it needs. Hallelujah. And Peter says, 1 Peter 2:1, give me that one. Let me read verse 1 because you need to hear that one too. Wherefore, laying aside what? All malice, all guile, and what else? Hypocrisy, being a hypocrite. You know, you want people to think you something that you're not. That's what a hypocrite is. They want to impress you that I'm all of this, but you're not. Hypocrisy and what else? Envy and all evil speaking. See, once you're born again, you want to lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and evil and envy and all evil speaking and what else? As newborn babies, what do a newborn babies do? They desire the sincere milk of the word. For what reason? That you may grow thereby. And so you get born again and you don't get in that word, you know what's going to happen to you? You're not going to grow. Not in God. You're going to grow some other way. But watch what happened. This, I did all that to get to this. Back to 1 John 1:9. See, 1 John 1:9 is for the believer. It's not for a sinner, because a sinner couldn't confess all his sin, because that's his whole life is what? A life of sin. His whole life is wrong. But a believer can confess the sin. Now listen to this. So, 1 John 1:9 is not for the believer. It's not for the unbeliever, but for the believer. And not the sinner. You see, the minute you sin, listen now. The minute you sin, your spirit knows it. The minute you sin, your spirit knows it. You will know it. Now, you may not do anything about it. And here's the kicker right here. The minute you sin, your spirit know it. You should keep that tender, your conscience, I'm talking about, your spirit. Watch it. That is your conscience. And don't let unconfessed sin remain in your life. And do what? Don't allow unconfessed sin to do what? Remain in your life. Hallelujah. That will lead to a seared conscience. You say, what in the world is that? I heard Brother Hagin tell this story about his early ministry. So I'll use this to show you what a seared conscience is. He said he would when he first started pastoring, he lived in, you know, lived in town. He would walk out in the country, took a little country church. And so, you know, quite naturally, you know, back in those days, they did a lot of walking. And he stayed with an older gentleman. And the other people would get up and go to the field. And I know what he was talking about. Early in the morning, and he and the older gentleman stayed in bed, because the older gentleman, he didn't, you know, he didn't go to the field. He was an older guy. And he would put coffee on the stove, you know, and this coffee would be boiling hot on the eye. He poured in the cup from the eye, sitting on the eye. You see water boiling? He said it was boiling. He pulls it into the cup, picked the cup up. He said when the first time he did, he said, I screamed, I hollered, oop, because he said that burned me. That man didn't start out like that. How did he get there? How did he get to the place he could pick up a hot, boiling cup of coffee and not just drink a sip, drink the whole cup? How did he get there? He started sipping hot coffee. He kept drinking it. And what did that hot coffee do? It cooked his throat, those tissues in his throat. Till when he drank it, he didn't feel it. That's what a seared conscience is. If you don't confess your sin, keep your conscience tender, your sin, it won't bother you.